Ladies and gentlemen, please lock your doors, pull your curtains and douse your lights. Come, drop to the fire as we go live to the Sturo embers of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Well, you know,
hello, everybody.
That is not our usual opening. I must admit it is not. And the really sad thing is people are going to be seeing us about 30 seconds before everything we say, because we are on a different delay on the audio than the video. And eventually This will be up and running and you will have video and audio at the same time. I got to fix my light here. I can't see in my own face. Ah, darn studio. First thing to note, folks who are watching us on audio and video, we never drink or smoke on the show.
You're watching us live right now. You're not going to get
this is important
show.
To know, yes.
This ain't no nudie show.
But by the way, Sean, are we going to have a good show tonight?
Ladies and gentlemen around the world, thank you for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Thank you. I blew it, man. I blew the intro.
We've been working literally all day on trying to get the video and audio up and running and matching.
Yes.
And for those of you who are fans of the show, who like the show, the three or four of you who are out there, because I have been informed recently that nobody likes our show. That's just the way it goes. We are nothing. We are piddlywinks, and nobody likes
us.
That's
what we strive for, folks. Yes.
Special shout out there to our buddy Brian, Sean.
Yes. Brian rocks, dude. You rock, Brian. Thanks for doing that.
That's a cool intro. Possible new intro for when we go video. You never know.
We almost went video. Well, we did. We are video.
We are video. It just doesn't match up with the audio.
We
were working so hard on this. I didn't even have time to run down and grab a cigar for tonight. I'm smoking a cigarette here, which I normally. But not that we smoke on the show. We'd never do that.
We do not smoke on this show. It would be very unprofessional.
But if we were, I'd be smoking a cigar normally, and I can't do it. I can't get out there and get a cigar.
Technically, professional broadcasters probably wouldn't have did live video feed tonight since they're not ready. But you know what, guys? We don't care because we've been working on this for like 6 weeks.
And you know what the thing is? Folks, this is what it comes down to. Sean and I started doing this 4 years ago because we wanted to bring a show out there where people could say and do what they wanted to say and do. Didn't have to worry about what other people felt about what they said. A show where nobody is ever wrong. And that's what we kind of did. We put this out here, and we hope everybody likes it. And you know what? We're wrong all the time. We'll admit it right off the bat. We jump out there and say something, and, you know, a week later we'll come out and say, whoa, by the way, I made an announcement last week. That was wrong.
Not me. I'm not going to do that.
Well, no.
I don't go wrong. I don't do wrong, Nathan. Well, why not join the egos out there, man?
Every week I come out and remind people that Sean was wrong then. But
you know what? It doesn't matter what people say, little brother, because it's never affected us. We keep on rocking and rolling. That's how we turn it out. And a lot of people are afraid of us because we speak our minds and we're willing to push the envelope.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And
we're going to keep on swinging, people. So look out.
With those of you who are fans of Ghostman and Demon Hunter, ghosts and fans of Extreme Paranormal and all the work Sean and I have done, hopefully we'll get a chance to bring you more in the future. Right now, we're just going to...
We're going to bring you this every Sunday night until we die.
And you can see Sean is in a well-lit little room there, and I am in a dark, dismal little place with my cross in the background, keeping the demons away.
You're a dark and mysterious person.
I am a dark and mysterious person, and it's funny that you should mention that, because recently people have made comments to the fact that I am a dark and mysterious person, and that...
Very dark, very mysterious. Your eyes, you got dark eyes.
You know, it's those heavy lids. It's those heavy German lids.
You need to get, like, black contact lenses. You know how they always say they see ghosts and stuff?
The funny thing was, when we were out filming Extreme Paranormal, I actually told the producers that if they get me a pair of black contact lenses, I would freak the heck out of Jason one night and on the show. And they said, well, that's a cool idea, but they never did it. Because I just thought it'd be cool to, like, do one of the rituals I was doing and then turn around and look at Jason and go, blah, and have the black contacts.
I think they should have done it.
They should have. I thought that would have been hysterical.
Listen to this. The battery's died. I didn't have a chance.
A chance to do anything. Literally, folks, for the last 3 days, Sean and I have just been, like, on the phone and on the computer and on... We changed our networks. We changed our systems. Yeah. Sean and I both found an editing system, which is why you can see us up there, but you can't hear us yet. That allowed you to see us both at the same time. Everything we could think of doing, none of it worked. And, well...
It did work. It sort of worked.
Worked. We got the video. We have been working on video for the longest time. We had audio. Yeah. And by adding video, our audio failed. So, you never know. You never know what's going to come next.
Well, I got to tell you, little brother, about the weekend. Are you ready?
Tell me about the weekend.
Besides, I'm going to tell you and all our loved ones out there that are watching us in video land now. You can't hear us in live, but you can hear us in the... They can see us and hear us, right? There's just a long delay, right?
Even yes, they hear us, and then about 27 seconds later, they see what we're talking about. But
okay. It's just throwing you off, guys. Hold on. Don't listen.
To give you some idea here. This is my famous Doctor Who screwdriver right here. And you can hear it there. And and you can watch it on the screen. And now you'll know how far behind you are on the audio.
Yes. Very far behind on the audio. Anyway, we went to, everybody wants to go to Gettysburg. Apparently there was some type of paranormal... picnic or something in Gettysburg this weekend, which
it must have been cold.
God bless them. But everybody talks about Gettysburg, right? Gettysburg, you know, it's an awesome place, man. We love it. It's the birth kind of sort of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Yes, it's where we met. It's actually where we met, so it is the birthplace of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Actually, we met in a pub over like six pitchers of
You kept buying more pitchers. Yeah, I didn't ask for more pictures. You just kept buying them. $100
pictures. I'm not passing that up. No way. But anyway, I went to, we got our own small Gettysburg that I found. I was real excited about it. Here, close to Indiana, which was in Perryville, Kentucky. And of course, it was the Battle of Perryville. So we went out there yesterday, myself, Scary Jerry, his lady, and Stacy. And we went out to, we drove forever. It was like 4 hours to get out there, a little under four. I drove about 70. But anyway, we got out there, and I literally had my GPS go off the map. It was like Columbus discovering a new world, man. It was, I kept driving. You ever done that? You're driving and
I've actually had that happen to the point where I was driving along following the GPS. It told me to take a right turn, and it drove me into some farmer's driveway.
Yes.
And it told me to keep going straight, and the only thing ahead of me was a cow field. cattle field.
We were off the grid. We weren't even on it. It was just showing rec pay, and it still kept, the lady still kept talking to me, because I got this sexy lady's voice, and it was like, keep on going, just a little longer. It was almost like, you know what, you're in the middle of Kentucky, like on Bob's Road, so good luck, I'm out of here. I thought it was going to shut down at any second, you know.
Kind of like in Arkansas, where I had to be picked up at Bob's Airport and tire repair.
Dueling banjos would come up on your GPS, and it would just black out.
Ding, 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 ding.
You're on your own, city boy. But, yeah, we went out there, man. And Perryville's a really cool town. I didn't know anything about it. But, you know, there's a lot of Civil War battlefields that happened, or a lot of Civil War battles that happened around the United States and in Kentucky and Tennessee and places like that. Not only Gettysburg. Gettysburg's known because of all the books, and it's a big tourist attraction, the college and everything else. But there's a lot of them around, Demon Hunter. I mean, Perryville was a battle for water, okay? They had a huge water supply there. And the Union needed it, the Confederates needed it, and like 8,500 dead Confederate soldiers or dead Union and Confederate soldiers in 5 hours, okay? 5 hour fight. So anyway, we went down there and we went to the gift shop and looked around. Traditional type gift shop, you know, wax dummies, stuff they found on the battlefields. But if you guys are looking for a nice day trip and you live close around Kentucky or, you know, 4 hours away, Perryville, Kentucky.
Closer 4 hours away.
Yeah, closer 4 hours away. Don't drive 8 hours to do it. Don't drive it. Unless you're a huge Civil War buff like me. But, yeah, I mean, there's got to be a Civil War battlefield close to everybody, right? Unless you live in Alaska.
Yeah, they weren't fighting in Alaska, for all I know.
I'm sure the Eskimos had some type of Civil War at some point.
They were fighting over which person or which Eskimo got which...
I think Eskimos are smug. They have egos. I don't like it.
Yeah, sure. That's the problem. They have egos, yeah. It's,
Eskimos.
Anyway, Sean is an anti-Eskimite. So.
Eskimo. I'm not anti. I do dig the tennis rackets they wear on their feet to walk around the snow. I like them. I dig them. And the furry coats they wear. You got to keep them warm. I like it. But what do they call them? A Canuck's a well. We should get our buddy Terry.
Are you referring to their snowshoes or their jackets?
Hey, huh?
Are you referring to their snowshoes or their jackets?
I'm referring to the tennis rackets they wear on their feet.
Yes, those are commonly known as snowshoes, Sean.
Yeah, snowshoes, whatever. They don't sell them here in the United States, or I haven't been able to find them. But anyway.
Go to any sports authority.
out of Perryville Battlefield, they're supposed to see Confederate soldiers running on the property at night. So Scary Jerry Strickland and myself, we went out there. Nathan, we wish you could have been there, but it's a long trip from Connecticut.
It's 14 hours for a night out on the battlefield. It is. It's
14 hours. And we spent probably 5 hours driving around the battlefield, and it was freezing cold, and the sun hadn't even went down yet. So we headed on back to the hotel and ate Mexican, which we ate at like, blah, 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 blah. And if I got to leave the room, you guys will know why. I got back from Kentucky, and I went and picked up my daughter and got back here, and I sat down, and I have not left this office since I got home today at 4 o'clock.
No, all I can remember, Sean, is you and I in New Mexico trying to determine who was going to go where. And I went to, what was it, Roswell, New Mexico, while you went to Lincoln County. Not so much because I wanted to see the Roswell site over Billy the Kid, but you had just eaten a mass of Mexican food, and there was no way I was sitting in the car with you for an hour.
Dude, that place was amazing. Guys, if you ever go to New Mexico, there's a place called Senoritas, or Mamacita, I forget. It's Senoritas, I think. And it has it's like a billion margaritas, like the House of Margaritas, right? And I swear
Which town in New Mexico, Sean? It's a big state.
Where were we? It was right outside of Santa Fe or Redoso.
Well, we were in Redoso for the first week, then Santa Fe, and then we were in in Santa Fe, and then just outside. We were in Redoso first, then just outside of Santa Fe, and then in Santa Fe.
Santa Fe was a nice little college town, kind of yuppie.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, that was a nice little place to go and just get a few drinks and hang out, and everybody was...
I don't have anything against yuppies, except usually they have more money than I, and I despise those type of people.
Yes, yes, we do not like anyone with more money than us. That's
which
just
is pretty much everyone.
It's not acceptable. Those of you with more money than we have, please go away now. You can log out of the chat room. No, no, no. Stay in the chat room. Just send us money.
Keep chatting. We did manage to go live, though. That's another thing. I can't get in the chat room anymore because I got the video running.
Well, I thought you had a second computer for that.
No, I didn't bring it down.
Oh, what?
Actually, I'm afraid to fire it up because if you use the wireless connection, my video might be bye-bye. You know, we're like, my computer's just holding on right now. Going,
You know, yes, if there's any listeners to the show who have an understanding of how computers work, please contact us, because boy, do we need your help.
Especially thanks to Terry, our good buddy Terry from Paranormal A. He sent us a Paranormal A. Paranormal A.
Yes, yes.
Boots just say it. But he sent us a bunch of links and stuff and really helped Terry. So thank you. We love you. God bless you. Paranormal A Radio. Yes. Check it out, guys, on Blog Talk Radio. Terry rocks the house. Don't be square. Be there. That was my personal. I did that. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start doing commercials, man. That's how we're going to get sponsors. You know who you're talking about. You know who I'm talking about. But, special love and congratulations goes out to your Butler Bulldogs. That's right. It's a team here in Indianapolis, Indiana. They crushed. Well, they didn't crush. I think it was 3 points, 4 points. They beat the Gators to go back second year in history. Go back to the Final Four, Demon Hunter. I know you're not a big basketball fan, but I'm not.
Basketball, focused. I'm not a big sports fan, Sean. You know that about me. I would much rather spend a night at the theater than an hour at a sports event. So it's...
You're more of a pornographic type person.
No, it's not that at all. Not
I like long walks on the beach
at
and
all.
Films. Oh, and ghost hunting. And did I mention films at all? But no, I digress. I'm playing.
Second night to the bad guy.
I was ending the show now.
We're just crazy tonight. We're doing this out of the kindness of God.
What made us think that every week for 4 years we should come out here and talk to people? What gave us this idea? I don't understand.
I think we've had enough. The world is ready to see us.
I think broadcasting
should be.
I think that we were possessed at some point, and we it just took over us. And
yeah. Well, you know, our show's definitely not going to be a bunch of sitting around looking at computer screens, guys, if you haven't guessed so far. Although there's nothing wrong with that, but this is not your typical news-type show. If you guys haven't, we got a lot of stuff planned. We just we ran out of time tonight. You guys been asking about video, so here it is. This is video, but we're going to add some more stuff, you know. Hacks, boxes that we've made, and stuff people send us, man. We're gonna show it.
I've got actually two other computers here, Sean, ready to go, so that when we want to run stuff like the paranormal puck, which we have been sent. You've got got the hacks that you've been sent to puck run on investigations and stuff like that. We'll have them all here ready.
Actually, Bill sent it to us. Remember?
Yep.
Bill Chappell, paranormal puck. Right here. I don't even think he makes those anymore, Demon Hunter. So, I don't think so. But we still got it. I don't think I have the actual stuff that came with it, the disc, but so it won't work. But no, I think I do. I got it back there somewhere. So, hey, I was going to ask you, when is the Edgar Allan Poe Festival in Baltimore?
Well, this year's has already passed.
It has. When was it?
excuse me. You know, it totally escapes me. I believe it was the beginning of February that they held it this year. Usually it is in the midwinter or end of the winter, because last time I went, it was about 30 degrees and we were standing outside waiting for the Poe Toaster. And by the way, for those of you who are Edgar Allan Poe fans and understand who the Poe Toaster is, the Poe Toaster comes out to Poe's grave every year on his birthday. Which right now his birthday escapes me. What can I do about that?
It's in February.
But it's in February. Yeah. What are you gonna do? And he leaves a rose and a half a bottle of cognac on Poe's grave. Well, for the last 2 years, the Poe toaster has not appeared.
Right.
So there is huge discussion of whether or not the Poe toaster is too old to appear.
Maybe has he's too sick. Died?
And there's a possibility that he has died. Now, the people who run the Abbey and, you know, look over Poe's grave and all that stuff, they know who the Poe toaster is, but they refuse to release the information. Mm-hmm. And they will not release why the Poe toaster has not appeared or whether or not he will appear again in the future.
Is that the guy that leaves flowers and booze and
yes,
stuff like that?
Yes, he leaves half a bottle of cognac and it used to be one rose. I think now it's three roses for Poe and his family. And but he leaves those on the grave and will not has not appeared in the last 2 years though. And I'll tell you, having been someone who sat up until like 4 a.m. waiting for the Poe toaster to arrive, and then just having too much and going home, and finding out that he showed up at like 4:32 or something in the morning, and I missed him by a half hour. It was very disappointing for me because that was probably the last year he appeared.
So people have seen the Poe toaster.
Oh, yes, yes. He does appear. He does. He shows up, and whoever runs the Abbey knows who he is because they let him in.
He's probably a yuppie.
No, I don't think so.
He's got that much time to leave cognac and booze on the grave.
I think he was just a extreme Poe fan and made it a part of his yearly ritual to do that.
I wonder, you know, if there's somebody going to leave booze on my grave, I wish they'd just leave it now while I'm alive.
Sean, your life is a grave. So
you can bring that to the Ghost of Demon Studios at Cognac's fine. I can do cognac. But no, man, what a great weekend, though. Getting back to the ghost hunting stuff, I got out on the battlefield. I got to use the our good friend Gary Galka donated or we got the real-time EVP recorder off of Gary, guys. And this was one of the times that I got to use it this weekend. If you don't know what a real-time is, get out of the closet, because where have you been? But anyway.
Well, you're one to talk about getting out of the closet, Sean.
jokes. No, I was going to say, though, I got to use it. It's the real-time. You get to you actually ask questions, what's going on, and then you hear your question back, and it goes for, like, 5 seconds, 10 seconds after your question.
Which is pretty much what we were doing with the audio tonight on the show.
Yeah, yeah. Which I don't think will ever work out. But anyway, I got to go in. There was a... of course, everybody knows Gettysburg because it was made famous by General Lee and General Grant. They met on the battlefield. It was the last battle. But here, a lot of people don't know, one was General Buell. And I forget the other name escapes me. But one of them was General Buell, and he had a house right across from the battlefield, Demon Hunter. Now, the thing about this is, on this battlefield, in that town of Perryville, there is so, every other house has a placard and one of those historical marker signs out in the front yard, but some of them are falling apart. We went to this general's house. It was the general's headquarters during the war. The Confederate soldiers were running in and out, in and out. This house is in shambles. It's falling apart. It has a big historical placard on the front of it, and it looks like nobody owns it. I mean, it's just falling apart. So we actually...
So it reminds you of your house.
The whole front of the building was gone. So we walked in and we just tried some EVP and stuff. I don't think I got anything. I didn't hear anything. But we tried, and that's what's important. So
that's
we
what's important, really?
I think Civil War ghosts, don't you guys? I mean, I think Civil War ghosts are possibly the coolest ones we got out there.
Hold on 1 second, Sean. Hold on 1 second. Testing 1, 2. Okay, yeah, we're still going. Okay.
Oh, we're still going. That's good. That's good. anyway, I would have news stories, guys, if we actually had time to research news stories tonight.
I do want to throw this out there for people who are listening to the show. I saw this on Zach Baggins' Twitter.
Who that?
Zach Baggins is the host of...
isn't that a gnome or whatever from the Rings?
Yes. It is from Ghost Adventures, for those of you who are fans of Ghost Adventures. Zach Baggins is looking for paranormal groups to compete in a paranormal challenge. So I guess you'll have to go to one of his web pages and connect to him there to join up. But I did see that on, what was it, Twitter. So if you want your group to get some exposure, that's a good way to do it. Go out and join one of Zach Baggins' Twitter pages or his Facebook pages or something like that, and connect to him there, and you can get your groups to join, and maybe you can get on TV and do some ghost hunting with Zach Baggins and the Ghost Adventure guys. So
join today!
Join today! And for $9.95, we'll throw in this... Yeah. This microphone, and
that's it. I like that microphone.
I love this microphone. It looks like the old fashioned. For those of you who haven't seen my microphone before, this is my microphone. It looks like something out of the 1920s, pretty much the way I do.
1910.
Yeah, well.
People always say the 1920s.
Your whippersnappers and your newfangled UP and things.
You just don't hear it. You don't hear it that much. But you know what I was gonna say. We got a good show coming up tonight. We have a live show coming up from a very, very special place. First time ever that the Ghostman Demonheart show or anybody that I know has been out there doing a live broadcast. And it's going to be brought to you by your Bad Boys of the Paranormal, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. We will be going live on April 9th. Guys, check out our Facebook page or whatever. We got the video posted up. Made a nice little video, didn't we, Demon Hunter? It was a nice video.
It was a nice little video. I gotta admit, there was something that was
thanks
cool.
Thanks to our friend Rhonda. Yes.
The time is not correct on it though. We probably will not be going live on it until the witching hour.
Yes, we thought it would. How cool would it be to come to you from a live haunted house, the Octagon Hall, where there's supposed to be Confederate soldiers? There's supposed to be a little girl running around. Seems like every place has got a little girl. You know, have you ever noticed that? Seems like every place has.
No, Sean, you just look for the little girls. I think that's
right,
all it is.
Right, but this is it's a ways. It's like 4 hours away from me, and I'm going to go out there for you guys. We're going to go out and we're going to spend 3 nights. Scary Jerry Strickland's going with us, and we're going to spend actually 2 nights and 3 days at this haunted location. We're going to come live to you guys. Don't know if we're going to be able to do a live video feed, but I'm going to try to get as many pictures as I can back to Nathan, and definitely go live audio from the house. The witching hour, 12 midnight, is what we're shooting for, guys, and who knows how long it's going to run. I don't know. I just don't
I have
know.
No clue. I have no clue whatsoever. So,
but I hope I get something. It's been a while. It's been a while. We keep going to these places. Back in the Shadows, your Bad Boys go April 8th or 9th. Be there. Don't miss it, guys. Midnight. I don't know if we'll be going live video or audio. Come to our site.
I'm sorry, Sean. I'm just watching us on the screen here while we're going. And because it's 3 seconds off on the video from us, which is not as bad as the folks who are listening to us on the air, who it would be 30 seconds off from. It's like watching an old Japanese translation movie with... Now that you have found me...
I like it. Our listeners are getting it.
I think they're getting it. Hey, by the way, folks, I saw a bunch of things up there about people asking about the thing I mentioned on the paranormal news there. Yes, Zach Baggins is doing a new show. It is a paranormal challenge, and you would have to find a Ghost Adventurers page or his Twitter or something like that to get the information, but they are looking for paranormal groups to compete. So there's some information for you.
You know, I wish everybody the very best in the realm of paranormal entertainment, but I got to tell you, Demon Hunter, we've been on both sides of the camera. We have done research. We did our homework. We've been doing entertainment here on the radio for free for years because we love doing it, and you know, we love you guys out there. We really do. But we've been lucky. We had our own TV.
Sometimes I feel that we're talking in circles, Sean. Sometimes I feel that we're talking in circles. But other than that, I think we do a good job.
Yeah. So let's continue talking circles. Sometimes I feel like you interrupt me a lot. What do you...
Well, you know, Sean, besides that, sometimes I feel we're talking in circles. Sometimes I really feel we're talking in circles.
I get deja vu. Hey, what I was going to say is I totally forgot, so I'm going to try to redirect my answer here or my what I was saying. But we'd have been on both sides of it, guys, and I tell you, I got more respect. The more and more I see, I have more respect. I've always had more respect from the researcher that's out there in the field, out in the shadows, you that's doing the work to take us to the next level. You guys are the ones going to find the answers, not some fat cat on TV, man. We've been on both sides.
Well, even if Sean and I wind up on another, like, doing another program, which we're not done trying. We're working on programs left and right to try and get us up there.
We don't care. We don't need TV to make us. Well, that's the point.
So. I love TV, Sean. I would love to still be working in TV. I'm not going to say I wouldn't still love to be working
in
TV.
Good for you. I would like to be on a soap opera or Leave It to Beaver. Something long-term. Not a paranormal show. Not a reality TV person. I want to be
But I love doing it, but I mean, I will say this. The show that you see on TV is not what makes up paranormal investigating. You know, you got to accept that. You know, you saw 22 minutes of us on each location, and half of that was background, right, Sean? So it's you saw like 9 minutes of us investigating a location we spent 22 hours working on. So it's it's not the same thing.
A lot of hard work. But you know what? This show did it, and we were recognized, and we've accomplished something, and it's something to be proud of. But really, guys, what we're proud of is that you listen in every Sunday night, because this is what we're here for you guys. So everything we've done out there, whatever, you want to talk about an egoless show, you found it right here. They're just simple guys. Just because we've been on TV does not make you special, you know. So.
And by the way, we never smoke on this show. Never, ever.
Yeah, I kind of wish we were next to each other, because I would like one of those today. My stress level, look at my hand. I'm done. This audio is going to kick my butt. I can't handle it. I mean, we have downloaded actually everything off YouTube. We've asked everybody. We've done everything. And just when we get the audio going so you guys can hear us, it sounds like we're in a time warp or something. It's like, hello.
Hello, this is Sean Burris. Hello, this is Sean Burris. And this is Nathan Schoonover. And this is Nathan Schoonover. And we are good.
We'd probably be talking in circles if we went live with that tonight, because you guys it turns off. But, you know, there's a lot of things coming up, Demon Hunter, this summer that I can't talk about yet. You got a big event coming up, right? I don't know if you want to announce that.
Well, I can't really announce it. I will be appearing in one television reality program this weekend.
Not the TV thing. Where you're going to make your guest appearance?
Where I'm going to make my guest appearance. I'm going to be appearing at a few things this summer. One is for a benefit, and I don't have all the information on it yet. I know...
We're actually doing a two-part on that, bro.
Yeah, you'll be at a live investigation where I'll be at the benefit. But like I said, I don't have all the information in front of me, so I don't want to make an announcement and then say it wrong.
Yes.
But
I just don't want to commit on the air. I don't.
I'll also be, from what I understand, I'll also be at Troy Taylor's event this summer.
That's the thing about these paranormal events, man. We've been doing it for years, and. It seems like it always happens at the last minute, and people are like, "Oh, are you coming? Like, we didn't know we was invited. Don't you have to invite people to, you know?" So it's one of those things, man. But it's fun getting out, meeting everybody. But I tell you what, the funnest thing I had, Demon Hunter, after being in this for a while, was getting out to the Paranormal Fest I did a couple months back when I got to meet the ghost hunters. They were out in the field.
Yeah,
and they were coming by the table. And a lot of them were telling me how much they loved Extreme Paranormal. As short running as it was, they loved that we pushed the envelope, and they thought it was killer.
Well, I've been getting, you know, over the last few weeks, I've been sending you the information. I've been getting tons of emails over the last few weeks of people who have said they loved Extreme Paranormal, they want more Extreme Paranormal, and that they were they just enjoy the way we do things. And right. I think we did take the world by storm when we did it.
That's why we're hated throughout the
world. I know, we are hated. And you know what? Because we love their hate.
Get out.
Give us more hate. Give us more hate, because that just means we touched something, and it made you hate us. So it's, I love it.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back on TV, because everything you ain't supposed to do, I don't think we covered it with EP. I want to go out and do it harder, even more.
So. I just want to research more occult places, you know. And it was nice to have somebody else foot the bill for it. So
it's nice to get paid room and board while we did it. But, you know, man, whatever. Like I said, I'm an old school ghost hunter. That's what we do. You know what I'm saying? And I put on Facebook, I need to reboot TV, all this stuff, man. I need to reboot, get back to the basics. What got us in this? Because you know as well as I do, when the camera's rolling and the lights are on, you don't get much time to ghost hunt.
Well, bro, I hate to say this, but we're going to have to take a break so we can come back with our guests this evening.
Take a break? All right, guys, this is our first break we're going to take of the year. We don't have many things downloaded for commercials, so stay tuned. Up next, Bill Bird, owner, CEO, of the Octagon House, where we'll be going live, the Haunted Octagon Hall, I'm sorry, where we'll be going live April 9th. So stay tuned, guys, and we'll be right back.
What is the darker side of the moon, Laura? It is a radio show that discusses weird news, strange happenings, and strange people. Yeah. And it's once a week. Once a week. Just once a week. That's not too much to ask. No, it's not. But if you really like it and you want to listen to it every day, you can. You can listen on the podcast. And how do you do that, Becky? Check us out on iTunes, or you can find us at our website at darkersideradio.com. For Darker Side of the Moon with Becky Ray and Laura Moon, check the website for showtimes and dates. Yes, because we're always moving about, because we like to keep you on your toes. Gotcha.
And you're listening to the Ghostmen and Demon Hunters show.
One by one, we march into the fire. Not even hell could hold us long. We will never survive.
I have no idea what happens next.
Huh?
Sean?
What happens next? Yes, yes, can you hear me?
Sean, can you hear me?
I can hear
Hello,
you.
Hello, Sean.
Hello out there. What are you doing?
Oh, hold on a second.
Hello, Nathan, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Now you can hear me. I hit the mute button on our live video stream, and it cut me off. Can you imagine that?
I can't imagine. I don't know where... What's the nerve, I tell you?
I tell you, that's what happened.
I'm in a really tiny box now over there in the screen. I see that. It's
Yes, you've destroyed yourself.
I have.
What have you done here?
you have to fix that. You're in charge of video.
Yes, I will fix you. Here we go. We are going to fix you up right now, sir. And,
I've had many an ex-girlfriend who tried to fix me, Sean. Just doesn't work.
Didn't work, did it?
No.
Well, what are you going to do, man? You just got to keep on keeping on. That's what we're doing, guys. But hey, it is live Sunday night, and this is your Ghost Men and Demon Hunter show. And we got a good one for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because we are going live, like I said, April 9th from this place. And it's a very special place, and it's called Octagon Hall, guys. Very cool old house, very great history, Civil War history. And if you're a Civil War ghost fan, this is the place for you. But right now, in the house, we got Mr. Bill Bird. He's the CEO and owner of Octagon Hall. Bill, what's going on? Welcome to the show, buddy.
Glad to be here, Sean. I appreciate the offer.
Our Kentucky brother. I just got back. Bill, to Indianapolis about 5 o'clock today. I went down to the Perryville Battlefield this weekend.
Oh, man, it's a fantastic place.
I loved it. But I tell you what, man, I went to the town, and I think I was the only one there.
You're probably right.
I was. I got scared there for a minute. I thought the end of the world happened or something. I was walking down
you knew you would get some good EVPs if you were the only live person around, Sean.
That's right. They got this old town strip, and I was walking down that, and they have the old buildings where Buell and the Confederate soldiers and the Union soldiers did war. They battled it out, and I tell you, it was pretty cool, man. It was pretty cool.
That was the most people had ever been at Perryville.
Yeah, right there. There was four of us. I think they wanted to do a tour out there. We just didn't have time, and it was so cold. But I definitely want to get back out there and check it, Demon Hunter. I'd like us to get out there and check that out with the Ghostman Demon Hunter show. So
yeah, what's going on with the video, Sean?
I'm playing around with it. That's what I like to do.
let's work all those little things out before we go. Go and do it and save it for permanent. Like now, I see myself like I'm in Connect Squares on that TV show.
What is the answer, Alex?
Three.
Bengal Tigers three. For $10,000, please.
Yes, but you know, I'm interested in this location because I've heard some interesting stuff from Sean that the area in which the Octagon Hall took place. There were actually more deaths of Confederate soldiers than in Gettysburg.
Well, that's not exactly accurate. We had quite a few, but not nearly that.
So how many people did die in that area?
The Confederate Army was their headquarters was in Bowling Green, which is 20 miles north of us. And when they evacuated Bowling Green after the fall of Fort Donelson and felt like their flank was exposed, they decided to go to Nashville, and they evacuated Bowling Green, and they brought the major casualty list was from measles and dysentery and that kind of medical problem. They brought them there, and they probably lost at least 200 or 300 died from their illnesses.
Right.
On their way into Nashville. They camped at the hall for a couple of days.
Now, hey, Bill, what kind of illnesses did they have? Was it wounds from the battle, or was it just they were sick from the long winters? I mean, what happened?
In fact, well, it was probably the winter. They had not even engaged in a battle at that point. Measles was dominant. Typhoid fever, things that we take. You know, we take a penicillin shot and we're fine.
Right.
They had dysentery, which is nothing more than just plain old diarrhea, basically. And
oh, I had that the other day, man. I did one of the Mexican joints there in Kentucky, Bill. I'm still getting over.
You eat a Hot Pocket.
Oh, man. I did something. It was Kentucky Mexican, and I couldn't handle Kentucky Mexican food.
See, right there, Sean, when somebody says Kentucky Mexican, you know there's a problem.
Right, right. Don't take that the wrong way. I meant Kentucky Mexican food. Food. That's right. That's right. But, Bill, you got the Octagon House, man. Just looking at the pictures, guys, and you can find out more about that at octagonhall.com. And we're going to – Bill has been gracious enough to have us out. Bill's – he's awesome. He's our brother. He's a good friend of the show here, and he's been a great friend to me. I called him up, and Bill said, man, come on out, do a live show, and this house is amazing. You got to see it. And I thank you for that, Bill. And the house is amazing, guys. Octagonhall.com. You got to check out the pictures. And we have got – to start booking this place and getting out there. You guys got to see it when we go live. Hopefully we get something out there. But the history alone, Bill, I mean, how did you find this place? It's you and your brother owns it, right?
Well, we have a nonprofit that owns it. We're the directors. We actually had a small museum, Civil War Museum downtown, and we were running out of room and we needed more space. And basically I was president of the local historical society for years, been really interested in all the history, and I knew the Octagon Hall and a lot of the history behind it. I had no idea that it was as varied as it is, but I actually almost had an epiphany in the middle of the night. I said, wait a minute, they rent the Octagon Hall, it's rental property, so maybe they'll rent it to me, and we need the room, and that'll be what better place for a Civil War museum. And so I contacted the owner, which lived in Alabama, and told her what we would like to do, and she was thrilled to death. And so we formed a nonprofit, and we have the house in about 10 acres. The farm was originally 1,500 acres, and it's been sold off over the years to about 300, and there's still probably 280 acres that's tillable farm with the property. But we take care of the house and the barn lots and the side fields and that kind of thing. So we were thrilled to get in there. And, of course, being rental property for the last 20 years, we had a lot of work to do. And we started restoring it back to the 1860s period and bringing our artifacts and paraphernalia into the house.
Right. Where did you get that, Bill? I was always wondering about the – like the relics from the Civil War, stuff like that. I was asking a lady out of Perryville, I mean, were those found around the house, or y'all just been collecting them for years and brought them in, or what?
Well, there was very few things found around the house. Being rental property, anything of value pretty much disappeared. But we had been, I'm a pack rat, and I've been wandering around for years and finding these things, and it's amazing what people don't realize that they have at yard sales. In fact,
right.
I bought an 1864 McClellan saddle one time at a yard sale for $5.
Oh, and, wow.
So anyway, we had accumulated a lot of things, and I have to give a lot of people credit also. When we opened, they started digging around in their attics and finding some things and putting them either on loan or donating them directly to the museum. So we ended up with a building pretty full. We're almost running out of room again.
Wow.
Right, and I've looked at some pictures, Nathan, of this place. I got to tell you, Bill has decked this place out, and the work you guys have done on it is amazing, Bill. Restoring it to its original glory and everything.
It's a labor of love.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, you had mentioned before when we talked on the phone that a lady from Arkansas had owned it for years, and you had called her and said, "Hey, you know." What do you think about this? Did she ever have any stories before you moved in? Said, now, Bill, listen, they've said things are happening out here and stuff. Is that how you found out about this hauntings and ghosts?
Well, actually, she had never lived there. She had inherited it when she was very young, and her parents had just basically turned it into a rental property, and she knew very, very little about the house. I had heard the typical urban legends throughout my life, you know, of the house being haunted, and I had known a couple of people that had lived there before, and
right.
they told me some stories, and then I started trying to track down everyone that had rented the property over the years, and I would say at least 80% had things happen. that they would talk about the paranormal activity. And then the other, 10-15%, well, yeah, it's an old house. I heard a lot of noises, but it's an old house. You know, very, right. very skeptical. And as I was, I have been, I guess, as they say, ghost hunting when ghost hunting wasn't cool. We would go out, to the old cemeteries and abandoned houses with nothing more than a flashlight. That's all we had. We didn't even have cameras.
Urban exploration.
Just try to see what happened,
So
I went in very skeptically, and after, I'd say, in fact, the first day that we were there, we were taking just before and after photographs of the house. Back then, this was 2001, and digital cameras were basically new, and one of our friends had gotten one for Christmas, and he said, well, I'll take all the pictures for you. So we took probably 100 shots, and we started going through all the photos, and just out of the blue, we started seeing these anomalies on the film, for lack of a better term.
Right.
And I guess there were two of them. The best ones were we had these white ectoplasmic swirls, as it were, one coming down the main stairway in the house, and
right.
we all knew that nothing was there physically. And then we picked up something very similar in the winter kitchen down in the basement. And there again, on both of those, we knew we got a truckload of orbs, and we thought, well, that's just dust, of course.
Yeah.
And so anyway, our interest was piqued from day one, and we started actually within the next few days hearing voices. And again, I'm very skeptical. I thought, well, maybe it's just an echo or something in the house.
So you started hearing voices, Bill, right out in the opening, brother?
Yeah, pretty much.
See, we love that. Yeah. We love when you hear the voices without having to go listen to tapes and stuff, because it makes life much easier.
Oh, yeah. And to be honest with you, that's one of the most convincing things. I'm not really crazy, so
right.
When I hear the voices, especially when I'm there alone, I know that no one else is there, and it's coming from somewhere.
Right, absolutely. What's it sound like? Is it the little girl or a man or woman? Well,
I've actually heard the little girl two or three times. She's very precocious. She loves to interact with people. She's a very intelligent type of haunting. She's always looking for mommy. She likes to play hide and seek. She likes to tug on your clothes. In fact, she loves messing with my wife's hair. my wife has just basically refused to go out there anymore.
Right.
Yeah, she's always touching the back of her hair. But I'll relate one of the incidents that has happened recently. I've got numerous recordings of her voice, to me, this is one thing that is so qualifying about the evidence. Is we've had over 100 investigative teams at the house, and at least 60% have picked up the little girl's voice. And I'm, of course, I had the ability to listen to them all the time, so I hear this same voice over and over again from investigators from all over the country.
Right.
Now either it's the same little girl, or it's one of the biggest conspiracy theories I've ever heard. They're all getting together and recopying these voices for me.
Yeah. There's no way.
I don't mean to hog the show, but I'll relate one that happened, which really just blew me away. We, a photograph of her mother surfaced from a trunk in Russellville where the family had originally.
The photograph surfaced from the trunk, not her mother.
Right.
Okay.
The photograph.
And, Bill, what do you do with their mother in the trunk there?
Right. She had passed away just before the little girl, Mary Elizabeth, had died in the fire.
Oh, no.
And anyway, so I took the photograph and took it to a professional, had it blown up to a 16 by 20 size photograph, and put it in an antique frame and took it up to the upstairs bedroom, hung it on the wall, and this was a Wednesday afternoon when no one was around. And as I started out of the house, I heard throughout it's one of those situations, it came from nowhere and everywhere. I heard a little girl just say, "Mommy," like she had recognized the photograph.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I think I left the house pretty quickly.
Now, when Sean goes out there to ghost hunt, any chance he could carry that photo around with him when he's out there investigating? Because
it's hanging on the wall. He can hang around by it.
Okay. There it is. Hey, Bill, when I go out there, remember how I was telling you, brother, I've been taking mandolin lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys been laughing at me, but I've been learning, like, Civil War era songs. You think that might, you know, because a lot of ghost hunters, if they're ghosts out there, they got to get sick of ghost hunters coming out going, "What is your name?"
Right.
I know I would. So I figured, you think I'd bring that mandolin out there and play a couple tunes? That little girl might warm up to me and some of the soldiers out there. Whatever.
Well, I think it might get them shouting at you, Sean.
They might, at least. What do you think, Bill?
Well, we've tried that experiment before. We've played the Civil War era music, and we actually have recorded voices responding and footsteps that sound like they're dancing upstairs.
Oh wow!
And yeah, I would say you'll bring something out at least. And now, of course, she's not the only entity either. There's the soldiers. There's maybe family members. You know, some we really don't know who they are. You had mentioned earlier that what kind of voices do we hear? Sometimes it's just a murmuring, like three or four people carrying on a conversation at one time.
Right. Where does that usually come from, Bill? Upstairs, downstairs?
Predominantly, it's upstairs.
Okay.
This house, you know, it doesn't have really hot spots. The entire house is a hot spot, and it varies from day to day.
Now, I've seen some pictures. Bill, guys, if you go to Octagon Hall, I don't think it's on Octagon Hall. If you go to Octagon Hall on Facebook right now, we're going to crash your Facebook page for you, Bill.
That's fine.
Everybody run on over there to Octagon Hall, the Facebook page. Put that up there in the search. And check out these pictures Bill's put up there from people that sent it to him or stuff that Bill's got. There is one that looks like half a body of a man, or I couldn't really see it, but it looked like a figure walking through your back pasture there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
What do you think it was?
I have no doubt that it's an apparition. We've got at least four photographs of full apparitions in the yard, leaning up against a tree, standing in the driveway.
And that's in the middle of the day. In the middle of the day.
Yeah, that's the middle of the day.
Yeah.
In fact, the one in the driveway, I was with the team that was in the house, and I can't repeat what they said, and they physically saw it. And that's why they started taking the photographs. They saw it actually forming, and they've got a before and after shot of a materialization and then the full figure.
Now, Bill, when we come out there Friday night and we go live Saturday night, what kind of thing do you think our listeners might be in for? What kind of things?
You never really know, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
You may hear singing, you may hear footsteps, of course, you're on radio and you won't be live video, but it's very possible that the doors will be moving and closing, that type of thing.
Well, we were thinking about trying to go live video, but you got dial-up out there and it's in the middle. I don't know if I can get a strong enough internet connection.
We almost have to use carrier pigeons.
Yeah. I tell you, what about you guys going to get Wi-Fi that week? Maybe I can come out. We could use the Wi-Fi for a week. How about that?
I would love to. There again, we're out in the middle of nowhere, so it's not productive for them to put it out there.
Well, I understand. I'm going to try to get it the service at least for that broadcast so we can go live. Don't know if it'd be strong enough to do video, but I'd like to be able to bring a video of the house, at least photographs, and send it on the video cast. So.
Mm-hmm.
At the place, because it's amazing, and you know I'm a huge Civil War buff. It looks like you are too. I was looking at some of your pictures. You were dressed up like a Confederate soldier there in one of them.
I used to reenact a lot.
Did you really?
Until I got old and feeble.
I'm working on it. But hey, Bill, what's that like doing the reenactments and stuff? Because a lot of people out of Gettysburg I've spoke to, reenactors, they say every once in a while they'll run into things. What do you think?
Oh, I have no doubt that it happens. You're sometimes, and reenactors call it time travel. There are times when you're on the field. For example, I'm sure it's happened a lot at Gettysburg. It happened to me at Mill Springs. That the weather is perfect. There's no modern cell phones, telephone lines, nothing, you know, inside. And you feel like almost that you're transported back to that time. You're hot, wet, sweaty, hungry, cold, and you can really relate to the way it was. And like I said, reenactors have called it time travel, and it's as close as you can get.
Well, brother, I tell you what, Bill, we were supposed to call Paul at 10:30, but I got to talking to you. We're going to have to let you go. I tell you, I appreciate it, Bill, and I can't wait to see you, brother. Thanks so
all
much
right.
for having me.
Looking out. Forward to it.
Now, all right. Now, Paul, just to throw that again, the website for people who want to check out Octagon Hall is octagonhall.com?
Yes.
It's octagonhall.com. And if you can actually spell, you'll have no problem finding that. It took me a few tries. So,
O-C-T-A-G-O-N, Octagon.
And do you have any events coming up or anything like that for Octagon Hall?
We're having an event, a paranormal meeting, whatever you want to call it, conference in May. And Paul will probably tell you about that. He and a couple of guys are sponsoring that, and it'll be a weekend event. Okay. And we're always doing some kind of living history around the house. That kind of thing.
Well, Bill, you know, if there's anything we can do to help you, brother, you just got to give me an email and it's done.
We'll let you know.
Yes, sir. You have a good night.
All right. See you next week.
See you next All week, right. man.
Week after next, sir.
Right.
All right, Bill.
All right, Sean. Well, I think since we don't really have time, I'm not going to try and do a break here and go into the next call.
Yeah, we're going to go straight to call. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bill Bird, one of the owners of the Octagon Hall. He's just a cool guy. He's just a cool guy. But we got Paul Browning, guys, author. He wrote a book about the Octagon Hall, The Hauntings of Octagon Hall. And we're calling him. Yeah, he's going to be in the house. So.
Yeah, when I'm calling real phones, I don't have quite the control.
Paul!
Yes.
Paul Browning, everybody, author of The Hauntings of Octagon Hall. Brother, how you doing? Welcome to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Yeah, first time. I imagine this probably won't be my last, but ready for it.
You never know. A lot of people who come on this show for the first time, it's their last because they don't want to come back. So it's,
No, I was talking to Paul. Paul's a night shifter like me. We understand each other. We have a connection.
Yeah.
We just had your buddy Bill on, Bill Bird.
Yeah.
And he was talking about you, and, you know, I had nothing but nice things to say about you, and Bill had nothing nice things to say about you, and we've been talking about Octagon Hall. And, of course, like I was saying last week, I said, you wrote a book on it, and I said, I thought I'd call you, but you did write the book on Octagon Hall. You know everything there is to know about it. And, you know, we've had the opportunity. Bill's been sweet enough to let us come out there and broadcast live from that special place on the 9th of April, and I can't wait, brother. And I thought, who better to have on than Paul Browning, the author of The Hauntings of Octagon Hall, and explain to us what's going on out there, Paul. What do you think's happening, bro?
Gosh, I really wish I could put my finger on it. I've had everybody suggest the fact that maybe the shape has something to do with it, to, you know, the some of the violent ways some people have actually died on the property and whatnot. So, you know, is it an emotional thing? Is it, something embedded into the property? Is it limestone? You know, this is still, it's all guesswork. So.
Right. Well, I know you and your team. What was the name of your team, Paul?
I operated the Clarksville Ghost Hunters from, around the latter half of 2005 all the way up till August of this past year.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, we did research out the Octagon Hall. I think the first time we went out there was early 2006. And, you know, we kept going back because it was the first place we actually got some really good evidence at. And it was surprising the volume of evidence that actually comes out of that location. You know, everybody knows you can get just about any team to go anywhere, and depending on the quality of the team, it may come up, you know, with evidence, even though it's marginal, you know, or really, you know, it doesn't stand up very well. But out there, it's quite easy to get something that's really, really good.
Right. Now, Bill, I'm sorry, Paul, I got to ask you, brother. We were talking last week, and you said you take a psychological approach to ghost hunting, paranormal research, I'm sorry. But I never got a chance to go into it with you because we were both working. You were leaving, I was going in. What is it that you were talking about? A psychological angle, psychological approach to paranormal research? I'm interested.
Yeah, well, it actually boiled down to taking the Avenue approach of becoming the target and not necessarily trying to investigate like you're trying to trap an animal. You know, these people, well, listen to me, I'm already calling them people. These are people that simply don't have physical form. So if you get into their heads a little bit, if they're there because it's a favorite place, if you pretend like they still own it, if you treat them with respect, you knock on the door, you go in, whatever, you know, treat these people like they're still alive. You know, don't just go barging in there, because obviously if someone barges into your house, you're going to get mad. You're not going to give them what they want.
Right. I was telling Bill, Paul, I've been learning the mandolin just to go out to this place. I've been learning some old Civil War songs on the mandolin, and I thought maybe playing that when I get out there might spark some spirit activity. What do you think about that?
Seriously, if I had a chance, I'd stand right there, because I want to see the results of that, because that's an angle that we pursued with CDs of recordings of other people that have done instrumentals, you know, around the Civil War period. But to actually have the actual instrument there that you're playing, God, who would not want to be around when that goes down, you know?
Well, I've heard Sean play. I don't want to be around.
Well, at least we'll get some booing on tape, at the very least, Paul.
Oh, but that's bad. A bunch of ghosts standing around going, boo. Boo.
Well, you know, we've been out. I was telling you, we've been out to Gettysburg and stuff. That's kind of how our show was born. You know, 4.5 years ago, we got some EVP out there. We were asking, should we do a show? And one said, help me. So I didn't know if that was saying.
Yeah, but then again, another one laughed at me. So who's to say?
Yeah, one laughed at you going, are you kidding me? But yeah, so we started the show from that. But, you know, we always try to do that. I bought a jacket and some slacks, Civil War style, when I was out at Gettysburg, and tried to get something going on. So I understand. I'm with you 100% on that psychological approach, and I think that's going to open up a lot of doors. A heck of a lot better than drive-by ghost hunting is what I called it. People jump by, yeah. They get out of their car, and they start snapping like paparazzi. What's your name? Tell me your name. Where are you going? You know, I wouldn't talk to them either, man.
Yeah, give them, you know, the ninth degree, asking a million questions, you know, and you're thinking, let's see, I just walked into their house, and now I'm going to barrage them with all these questions. Yeah, they're going to be real receptive. They're going to just holler out right back to me.
Yeah, my name is, they're probably like, who are you? We've been here for hundreds of years or 150 years. What are you doing here? So, hey, what's the story you know about the place, brother?
What's the what now?
The whole story about the place. I heard about the little girl. Do we have a name on her? I know Bill said it, and I didn't catch the whole name.
Yeah, it's Mary Elizabeth. Last name is Caldwell. So, Mary Elizabeth, she is so cool, because, I mean, the first time we went there, I had this really bad moment where I assumed the person that was with me in the group had their audio recorder on. They were assuming I had my audio recorder on, and when I say on, I mean on us. We've gone downstairs where there's a fridge that's kept down there. While we were down there, I thought, you know, hey, we're kind of secluded here, me and this other member of my group. I said, let's see if we can coax this little girl into coming out. Hey, you know, is there any kind of games that you like playing? You know, we kept this line of talking going on between him and I, and we're looking at each other like, you know, hey, we're going to get something on audio, not knowing neither one of us have it on us.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, Sean and I have done whole shows before we realized we weren't broadcasting. So it's.
Hey, Bill was in broadcasting. He knows all about that. So.
But yeah, we had the audio recorders going, and they were, basically just, you know, at the top of the stairs. They were sitting in a pile, and even though we didn't have them on us, you know, less than 20 feet away, they were there, and they still picked up the voice of the little girl saying, will you play with me?
Yeah.
So that was an ice cold moment.
Now, hey, Paul, we got to make sure those are ghosts, because Sean has gotten in trouble from comments like that from little girls before. So it's
now you're going to have Paul say it. I'm not letting this Sean guy come out here no more. That wasn't me. Hey, Paul, but you've had lots of chances to sleep over there, and Bill's letting me spend the night there. What do you think our listeners are in for when we go live, or at least me? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, you never know. The last big thing that happened to me is that I chased about a 6-foot figure around the outside of the building. I chased it all the way to the back where there's this light on a pole. It ran towards the pole, and I didn't have anything on me because I thought someone had snuck onto the property while we were trying to do a job, and it literally broke apart into, like, it looked like a thick swarm of bugs, and then dissipated right in front of me, right in front of the light on the post.
Right. Wow. So what do you think that was?
It wasn't wasn't anything that I could relate to as being a normal, regular person that I thought had snuck onto the property.
Wow. So we just had the Bigfoot hunter, Tom Biscardi, on last week. He was telling us about Bigfoot and the Bigfoot hoax and all that. So,
oh, wow.
I know Kentucky's had some Bigfoot sightings, so I didn't know. Because you were literally out in the middle of nowhere when you go out there to Octagon Hall, right?
Yeah. There's just one road that goes by. There's 31W, and that's it. I mean, that's your connection to civilization. You got to get on that road and go one way or the other. It'll either take you to Bowling Green or Franklin.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I hope when you come down for your special event, you don't find my bones out there on the property somewhere. I end up going, well, you'll know. You'll find a mandolin and be like, well, I guess it didn't work for Sean when he came.
Yeah, if there's a mandolin and maybe a trail leading out to the, you know, the outside of the building, then we'll know.
You'll see tracks where the fat kid ran through the backyard going, help me.
Not fat, Sean. Husky. Husky.
Yeah, husky kid. I'm husky, I told you. But, hey, Paul, we can't wait to get out there. And I heard you got an event coming up, brother.
Yeah, we actually do. I believe it's on the 21st of May.
Okay.
And that involves myself and a gentleman by the name of Tommy Golden.
Yes.
And we're going to be all we've got is we've got 20 tickets available. We wanted to limit it because we feel when you do these, and you're probably aware of this, when some people put together events, they have kind of an oversale of tickets. And then when you go in there and you want to do anything serious, it's a little hard to do.
Yeah, I've been to places like that where you pay to go in to ghost hunt, and you're there with 150 people, and it's impossible to get 5 minutes alone in a room without echoes coming in from another room or something like that.
Right.
Hey, Paul, so we're going to ask you, what's the area around the house like, around the grounds?
I've got a wicked echo going on.
Yeah, I just picked that up myself. Can you fix that there, Nate?
Hold on, I'll try. Try it now.
Test 1, 2, 3. There we go. How's that?
There we go.
Hey, I was going to ask you, what's the area around the grounds like?
Not too bad. I've concentrated most of my research on the house, but I know that out at the slave cemetery, I had a gentleman by the name of Chris Edmond who was out on a shoot with me for a television show, and while he was out at the graveyards of the two soldiers, he was asking various questions, and when he came to the question of, you know, what do you think of the people that are taking care of the property, he flat got a straight yes, just as plain as day on audio like that.
Wow. Now, have you ever seen an apparition out there, Paul, or what you think might be an apparition? I know you've seen you was chasing that 6-foot shadow type thing, but have you ever seen like a half an apparition or a full bodied?
I've seen what I believe to be what I can only explain as being a full-body apparition. This thing was as real as you and me. It was in a Civil War costume, a get-up. I thought it was, you know, I was there to help out with the Halloween happenings, the Haunted Hall event.
Right.
And I seen it in the lower window, you know, downstairs. You'll see it when you go to the house. It's the lower window where they got the implements and the tools, and it was looking at me. And I thought, oh, wow, this is, you know, I could see the detail, the thick handlebar-type mustache. You know, I couldn't even see his mouth. It was all mustache. And I couldn't wait to get in there because I thought, they're going to scare him with history. This is so cool.
Right.
When you see the Octagon Hall, you'll see why this is impossible, because I went in through the downstairs entrance, which is only about 4 giant steps away, and I got into the bottom down, you know, the downstairs hallway, and there's no way for this thing to come out of the room that it was in without me seeing it. But in the hallway down at the end were 3 women who looked at me like, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm here to help out. Who's the guy in the uniform? And they all said, what guy?
And you turn around and say, God, I love this job.
Yeah, and it's always when I don't have that camera handy. You know, I swear they got something going with that.
Oh, I know it. They know. You know, people think, like you said, like they're out there trapping animals, brother. You know what, Paul? Because we've both been in the field for a long time. I know you have, and I got the utmost respect for you, sir. And I've been in it for a little over 13 years now, and Nate's had years of experience with the occult and everything. And been in the field, so all of us together might know enough to at least get in trouble, I figure. But you know, I think these entities are not goofy. I mean, they might be, you know, from a different time zone or a different time zone, a different era, but they're not goofy. Mm-hmm. They realize what's going on, and if they're intelligent, they're well aware of their surroundings. I believe, sir. I believe at least.
Oh, they are. They are. The little girls actually learned to sing Blinded by the Light because she overheard a group singing it one time walking back from the graveyard. And they got it on audio.
I'm going to bring in some Zeppelin, see if I can't get her out there. Some Page. Some Jimmy Page, man.
Yeah, there you go. Stairway to Heaven. All right.
That's it. We'll play something. I can't wait to get out there, though.
One of the things I've learned to do on ghost hunts when I've been out on them is to find the time period the ghost is supposed to be from, find a joke from that time period, and come in and tell a few jokes, because I find it's very helpful.
Oh, yes. And something else you can try, it's in the new edition of my book, is you can sing some kind of songs from that time period if there's children involved in the haunting, and try and start singing it. Usually children like to join in, and you just stop abruptly, and they'll keep going, don't realize you're going to do it, and you get them on audio.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had seen something, I think it was you that was posting it, that was talking about, I think it was one of your old teammates, or I think it might have been you. You said to make sure to keep your recorder going after you're done, folks, with the questioning, the Q&A session. Make sure you let it go for 3 minutes or so afterwards, or at least a minute.
I'll tell you, I keep my recorder going till I'm walking out the door, because it's always when I'm almost done and wrapping up my stuff that something shows up.
The actual technique that I use is to turn on your audio recorders before you even get out of your car. That way, whatever it is that meets you at the door, if it decides to yell and scream at you and burn itself up, you've already caught it.
Right. That's it, man. That's how you do it. But the book is, I know you got to get to work, Paul. The book is The Hauntings of Octagon Hall. Where can they pick this up at, Paul?
If you go to my website at www.paulbrowning.net. All the links are there. It's actually at lulu.com.
Okay.
And that should take care of it.
Paulbrowning.net, guys. I'm definitely going to be there. I think all our listeners should go out. Don't go right now, folks, because we want you to stay tuned. But definitely go check it out after the show. Paul's got a lot of cool stuff, and Paul is just he's a well-rounded investigator, and he's done it all, guys. And he's a great friend now. I mean, I called you on the phone, and you took the time to talk to us, and thank you so much for coming on, Paul, too.
It's not a problem. Anytime you want to call, man, just give me a ring.
You got it, Paul. And, hey, listen, anything you got coming up with the Octagon or whatever, I told Bill the same, just drop me an email, and me and Nate would love to promo it for you.
Cool. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. You got it. Paul Browning, everybody.
Paul, before you go, I just want to throw out, there's another book, too, that you have out there that people might find interesting for ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And my screen isn't coming up, so.
Paranormal Investigations, Thinking Outside the Box?
Yes, because we're all about that, thinking outside the box. We call it thinking outside the pine box here, but it's definitely one of those things. Paranormal Investigation, Thinking Outside the Box, and another great book available from Paul Browning. And Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Not a problem. I was glad to take time out to be able to talk about the hall.
Have a good night at work, Paul.
All right. Hey, you too, buddy.
All right, buddy.
All righty. Well, Sean, I'm afraid to say that it is that time that you and I have to sit here and thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
It's 10:58.
It's 11 by my clock. I didn't know. It's
11. We usually run to like 11:30 here lately. We've went over like 3 hours each show, so.
But, you know, it's one of those things where, not that I'm afraid to tell people thank you, I just, I don't want it to end, but.
I think you are afraid to say thank you.
The only person I'm afraid of, Sean, is not you. It's that little troll under the bridge outside my house. So
the troll. You hate trolls.
Trolls are bad. Trolls are bad.
Thanks, guys, to our guest Paul Browning, the author of The Hauntings of Octagon Hall. Some houses have a story. No. What did I say in the video? All houses have a story. This one has a ghost story. And your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show will find out live April 9th on your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Midnight, guys, the witching hour. We go live. Demon Hunter, you got anything else to say before I say my outro?
I've got nothing this week, Sean.
Okay, special thanks to Billy Bird, too. Big Bill, thanks for coming on so much. Be sure to check out our website, guys, at www.ghostanddemon.com. And be sure to log on to our forums, because, hey, we want to hear from you.
Good night, everybody.
Don't go changing Ghost Hunters. You know we won't. We love ya. Night.
Especially Sean. He especially loves you. He loves you long time.
Video. Have a good week, guys.
Maybe next week we'll have it all working. Who knows?
Doubt it.
So
say goodnight to the bad guy.